interrupting the current neo-Uranial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTW RLM 528, as we keep moving on. And this thing is just, isn't the world an interesting place? Really, the insane asylum is in full tilt. Boogie, I think. But what are we going to do with these folks? They're running our lives down. They're killing people. Globally, I'm blown away by this whole thing. How about you? Are you looking around and just can't believe how much nonsense is in the world? Where did our America went, folks? Where did all of our freedoms go around the world? They're just being encroached. Governments are taking control underneath as well. Talk about looking at the sovereigns that are running the world, the nations, Russia and China. Now India stepping up. Saudi Arabia is planning on maybe moving sanctions against the United States. Amazing. Amazing. That's us being all torn down by other governments saying they're not going to put up with it, but putting their people underneath their control as well, as we watch the United States doing. Under the color, the titles of names of euphemisms. Give something a name, identify it, and give the parameters for how it's hurting you, cause a fear, and most people capitulate to the fear. And so this is a pretty standard model and plan. Again, what I try to do behind Woodshed is expose these things to you, but not that you're not able to see some of these, but that there's underlying mechanisms working and that they're putting them on us. We either sit back and take it, or we, at some point, we'll have to decide that enough is enough. And every one of us is going to make that decision on our own. And a lot of us will just keep backing off and backing off until we're at the precipice. And now I would say that that might be a little too late at some point. It's certainly not an easy task to defend yourself when your back's to a cliff. And that's where they're driving everything. And yet, right in the laws that people kind of dismiss or will claim they know their rights, the rights have been buried by processes. And my view over the last decades was to analyze, first of all, did it happen? And I say that it did. And then how? And then what is there to counter? This is just what they call a civil war, what we're watching locally. You don't necessarily notice that. It's an ongoing civil war. And this is why the military steps up in, I think, every aspect of our lives. We find it everywhere, the military. Why? Globally, too. It's amazing. Notwithstanding other nations' militaries. And we're watching the contention. We're watching even the United States faltering on its technology now. I understand now Iran has its own hypersonic missile. The United States has yet to have one that they talk. They've got some hypersonic stuff, but it's a different class. And so we're watching definitely the transformation of the world, but not the type of transformation they want for the people of each nation. And this is going into the technocracy, if you will, if I can put a term on it. Again, these terms are just euphemisms for much more complex systems. One of those systems coming on that they're touting and they're letting us know about it is this AI. And I want to do, this is from the BTW Department of Correction, not a correction. It came out right after the broadcast last week that the Air Force Colonel misspoke when he said an AI drone killed its human operator. And I understand, I hope you went back to the links and looked at, they had killed in the, italics there to show that it wasn't really killed. It's not a correction for last week when I said that it actually took the tower out. I explained what happened. It was a simulation. So this is an interesting discussion that the Pentagon comes back, the Air Force came back to deny that they actually ran that thing. And it actually did what the colonel was talking about. I asked you if you thought this was too far-fetched because this is apparently a seed drop. This is where it could go. They think about this stuff. It was stated in the story, if you read it, it was a simulation. The AI decided it was going to take out its communication line to protect its mission. It was going to fulfill the mission. I don't think is inconceivable. And I want you to apply these concepts because I think they're telling us, even though they're denying it, the Air Force officially denies it. One of their people misspoke. Okay, but it's there. That's the truth. It could happen, and I don't think it's far-fetched. Myself, I don't know what you thought when I was reading it. Okay, they came up to make an interesting correction. That never really happened. And I'm suggesting to you, yes, it's right there to tell us it could happen. And we better pay attention to that. And it's not as spectacular as AI so-called robots going out and destroying humanity, although that's another story coming up. They're telling us that this is going to be a dangerous thing to have in the world. I'm going to have to remind you, it's all in the systems. If your life is tied into one of those systems, then you're going to be affected. and don't underestimate where those systems work. I've been astonished that they've allowed all of our infrastructure, everything like power and control systems, to be tied into to the internet. There's no breakaway from that. This is a setup for a takedown, is all I can tell. And every nation does it. And then they complain that they're being hacked. So this is another problem. Interesting story about the Air Force coming out and saying, oh, that didn't really happen that way. Well, the story said that it happened the way they explained it. And so be careful what they're telling us now. And I'm going to say I'm not making this as a correction as the United States Air Force says, oh, they have to correct the record. I'm telling you that's what they're planning. That's what they're set up. That's the capacity. The thing can get away, but it's going to get away in a system. Intel says AI has overwhelming CPUs, GPUs, even clouds. So all Meteor Lakes get a VPU. What is this? This is the 13th generation chip for computers coming up. We'll have AI hardwired into it. If we think we're getting away from it. So this is the main thing I see in this story. There's lots of interesting information in this link. I could go read through it, but I don't need to spend that much time on it. If you're interested, and you really should be. I said that this AI, they're telling you they're setting it up. This AI is the fastest way it can work is put it on a chip. The system's on a chip now. They make it work. That's what my R&D when I got into electronics was that. We took like speaking. It used to be a big deal to be able to have a computer speak a language and clearly and fool people that it could actually do it. To do that, you have to put it on a chip. You can't do it through software. It's not fast enough. Decades later, they're actually putting hardwired stuff on the chip. It's artificial intelligence, and so it's in your systems. You're not getting away. Everybody gets a puppy here, as I think they say in the... Everybody gets a puppy. Even the government inside your AI gets a puppy. Warm and fuzzy. In your system. Future systems are coming. I think the technology is cool. I think it's a really great tool if you keep it in limitation. Don't think I'm dismissing the capacity of it as being a tool, but it is only a tool. And yet they're going to make it the cornerstone for what goes on in people's lives. This is going to be third parties involved. The AI is a program third party. The hardwiring they put on chips is going to be a third party. The government has access to it all. With all the denials, you're finding out now that these are all lies. Now, this is a serious incursion. If you look, since I look at it as a military territory. And the military telling you they deem it as a domain. Then we're in some interesting times coming into the future. And as long as I've been saying you use your phones or your computers, it's going to come to a time when you can't escape. You won't have a private thought. You won't have a private place. You won't be the people that can amass together to stop abuses of government against you, which is now coming to the fore, finally maybe. As I talked on Twitter, are people finally coming to the point when they realize that the government is so corrupt, totally, that there may be the right to alter, abolish, starts to become apparent to them? And as I ask, is there been a definition on what the limits of that are? Does the rubber meet the road here? Or are we going to continue the road rash as this governmental totalitarianism continues and corruption? I don't know where this ends. I don't have all that answer. We have a serious problem. We're losing our communication lines. The story that a computer could cut off your communication line is not a joke. They're already doing it. This doesn't be AI. They're going to set that up. What do you think social credit's about? And it's gone, folks. You can't have access to your account. You're cut off from your communication lines. And they're going to use AI. You think somebody sits behind the scenes and runs levers? No. This is going to be problematic, error-prone computer program. Odds of smarter than human AI wiping out mankind are 50% greater, physicist warns. And we could, again, I could read all this, but I just like the titles going through because it just speaks to the propaganda management that's going on. I'd like to know how 100% of the population is tied into computers that they could be affected by AI. And why weren't we more intelligent to not allow smarter than human? Remember, smart is not intelligent. It's a process of destruction for your life, transformation for your life. They need the contact to the big data and machines looking at all that in order to guide you along. They'll try and do it more than guiding, this carrot and the stick. I've talked about really all of this. But some physicist who's into all this says that AI could wipe out mankind. How? Mankind, not humankind? What happened there, too? So this is more preparatory of our mind of what they're going to do. They're going to be able to control at least 50% of the population. That wipes out your savings or wipes out your rights or what that's what he may be talking about. But this is us being less intelligent because AI cannot be, as we know, intelligent. It cannot be smarter. It's just a machine. It's a glorified pattern recognition system. It's what I showed you in the last week. And again, these tabs are supposed to be going on and on continuously. It's like I'm doing 3 weeks in a row that were supposed to be done in one broadcast. There's a continuum of logic I'm showing in thematics going on in my broadcasts. And I apologize for not being able to get to all of it in one broadcast. It's just too much. But this is all tying, it ultimately ties it all together to show this is more than just stories. This is a prediction, but it's what we will allow. And that is to you. You will allow certain things. The AI wiping out mankind to be smarter. Why aren't we more intelligent than that? How is it smarter when it's only doing pattern recognition? When it's a probability engine? That alone tells you it can't make decisions. And yet we continue to sit with this, have to buy hardware that's going to be hardwired to implement all this. I say that, my mind is, this is fascinating stuff. This is really cool technology. But what, again, it's not the weapon, it's how it's used. It's not the, is it a weapon or is it a tool? And this is where we are not in control. That was told to us, if we can look at our own United States law, or Constitution, the right to alter and abolish, was this power. This power that says, this system, any system will fail. You're going to have an out. We have to write it down for us to reserve it to ourselves so that that power that's going to undermine us can't say we didn't have the right. It's what blows me away when I see the news and the setup like the J6. Why didn't you go in on that usurpation part? Why didn't somebody do that? Well, because they were set up. They were set up for the takedown, and we're not intelligent enough as a society. We aren't intelligent to initiate that on our own. We're not intelligent enough to figure out we're going to need to have some private communication lines while we figure this out as well. You can't do it on Twitter. And I don't care what Elon Musk says about how privatized it's now being and all that. It can't be done. It's not a real town square. Increase in fake publications threatens academic publishing integrity was an interesting story that I wanted to point out about this AI, that it's going to kill the operator. In other words, it didn't kill the operator in that. It didn't go after the human operator. It went after the control line to stop that noise so that it could focus on its mission. So this had to make a decision to do that. And these couple stories were showing us how accurate is this AI. And this becomes the danger. Not that it's going to kill you, mankind. And woe to be to us as mankind. Remember, I told you in the law, mankind is preferenced over the nature and anything man makes. Not humankind. That's an invention of a church, that term. So keeping these terms more straight in your mind, my listeners should do that for themselves. It helps to straighten the road, if you will. The path gets straightened a bit. You learn not to get on the wrong path and get guided by somebody. You can use that those euphemisms to show who someone is you're talking to pretty quickly. But the increase in fake science publications threatens academic publishing integrity is really not a new story. We found this out. China was dumping tons and tons of stories in. It wasn't even with AI, but they're showing that AI can do this. And I want to point this out to show us that these stories, where they now question the academic publishing integrity. That would go on to everything that we've been experiencing, medical, science, all this stuff. And you really have to take things with a grain of salt anymore. It's really difficult to pour through some of this. What is good and what is bad becomes the open question. That's why I say, let's maybe take the UN lead. Let's live on the precautionary principle. They're telling you to do something because they have this study, and you're looking at it with a sideways glance to it because it doesn't make quite sense. Trust that intuition. Protect yourself first. The one who makes the assertion has the burden of proof. This is what I have about some people will be self-referential in their proof. I don't agree with any of that. Because what you do get to if you do that is, I'm right because I said so. And we have to have various different places to prove. Integrity and academic publishing. I've been telling you that the government works through academics. And so we have an academic integrity problem. And we have this condition where we have the latter use of the paper mills that they have, or AI-supported automatic techniques to create fake publications for individuals who are under pressure to advance their careers. And so it's the bottom line for everybody. The point is that what about the editing services that are all AI-generated? And they found out when you go through the study, as we move through here, and again, if you can tie it back to last week, that it's prone to error big time. And that then is, you have to remember, they were using all these studies. I even use those studies, not knowing what's good or bad. You look at, I could prove external to the study some certain facts, and I would bring it to you and say, why don't we look at this? It looks like it has a good way to, it has long legs here to prove itself out. Other things here, however, do not. and therefore we got to be careful. Experts are wrong. They're actually, here, this says it right, that they advance their careers. This is what science is about, it seems anymore. And then you got the consensus. That's even worse. Use a study to do a study. We all agree that's the study. It's like a fraud. It's like monetizing fraud like they did the toxic debt. We'll agree that we'll monetize it because we agree it's something that needs to be, it's in a contract that has value. And then we'll underwrite it with an insurance policy. That has value too. We'll buy into that. Buy in. Studies over and over and over. But AI is coming through to show us that there's terrible errors in our so-called science, what it knows. And now I want to go back where the AI is used to make determinations on your life, about your life, about giving it to some supposed authority that relies on it to make determinations for your life. And they had power. And everybody was relying on all these studies, and there's no real check and balance anymore on a lot of this. So it's AI generated. I want to keep reminding us here, this AI that's being promoted that turned on it, on its communication line, is what they're using and relying on. That one physicist is saying it's going to take out mankind. Well, I don't know if it has a gun to your head, but if your life is surrounded around digits, electrons, and that's how you survive, I guess it can start hurting you. And we got to really, I say gotta, we don't got to do anything, I guess. We could all sit around and twiddle our thumbs, contemplate our navel, but the writing's on the wall about the threat that this becomes. And the problem with my mind on this is that the military is using it. It's a domain that the military tries to control and is controlling, well, to some extent. Absent a peer that can counter it. And it's always in the negative, it seems. No one seems to aid each other. It seems to be attacking each other. So let's move on over where AI might be able to help us. And this is going to show you, even where it can help us, it's error-prone. And why the danger of this AI that they're putting in charge of our lives. They're giving it intelligence, which it doesn't have. They're saying it's smart, and they're not referring to the SMART process of destruction and transformation of your life. When all it is a pattern recognition, a glorified pattern recognition system and a probability engine. In other words, that pattern recognition that it finds a match to in a list of things and correlating is still only probability that it's right. And here we have evidence of that. Scientists use AI to discover new antibiotic to treat deadly superbug. This is cool. This is what I've been saying. Let's use this ability to pull disparate pieces of information together. Like a grand database that has a program running to see if we can pull together and make new things with the knowledge that we have. Apparently they did it here. Two stories are happening within this though. AI used to discover a boxin, an effective drug against the Abomanani bacteria that can cause dangerous infections. And so I could go read the story. The point is they found a so-called antibiotic. Well, antibiotic, it kills biology. And so they found it. Well, how did they do that? It's a serious bacteria. How do they do it? They use AI to go look at all these chemical compounds, and it came up with like something like hundreds of different possibilities. And then the scientists looked at the possibilities. They analyzed from 6,680 compounds. Analysis took an hour and a half and ended up producing several hundred compounds, 240 of which were then tested in a laboratory. Laboratory testing ultimately revealed 9 potentially antibiotics, including aboxin. Okay, great. That is great. One, first thing, it looks great on the surface. It took the database of 6,600 potentials, it analyzed it, and created 240. That's pretty neat. But they only found after testing. In other words, it didn't make a decision based on that. It took someone to join the lab and decide and look, and then the lab process is a question. But they did ultimately revealed 9 potential antibiotics. Shows you the error-prone nature of AI. It shows you the error-prone nature of technology. It shows the error-prone nature of mankind in dealing with all this. From 6,600 to 9 potential. That's a probability engine. Even after the lab got involved. I just wanted to point out that AI is a super dangerous tool when we allow it to be functioning on its own automatically without intervention, and then testing again, and then testing again, if you can see what this lab was doing relative to this implementation against a bacteria. That's a great deal. We can kill a bacteria that's very difficult to kill. However, let's go back. It's an antibiotic. What have we found out about using antibiotics? And here's goes to step 2. we might find that it be one of nine potentials that actually starts to work. It does kill this. But what do we know about nature? Nature's tough. Nature might actually survive one time, and then it reproduces itself. And then what happens? Should you have taken this AI use that found this product, this is an antibiotic, that we're finding out superbugs developed, the reason why we have to go here, and now we're using the most efficient tool to find the most probable antibiotics to kill something, and we've just reached the limit of our knowledge, and we're going to go try and kill a superbug with this that has the capacity to be a super, super duper bug. And now we don't have AI to stop it. It outbid us. Our AI isn't smart enough, even at the potential level. So we may use AI, we may have to develop, move the potentials down to the fact, but then do we still use that tool? Are not the filters that are put into a social situation relative to AI making decisions in your life through your phone or the cloud? Is the danger here? These are tools, they're very inefficient, but they may be the only and best thing we have, which we still, the answer may come and we may not want to use them. Why? Because you need to sit back. We need to sit back. What we find out, I think it was the Norwegian hospital doctor that figured out about antibiotics. You stop using them. You go to hygiene. You clean, where they use chemicals that are not killing us, but that will kill the bug, and the bug has no defense against. It's like using ivermectin in a way. I don't want to really say that's what you use in all cases, but it was, remember, it went after a biological function that the organism could not change in its makeup. It's evolved to need that whole system that ivermectin blocks. And so there's no way for it to evolve from that, as an example, not saying that's what you use. And so what did the Norwegian doctor find? Use bleach? Use maybe peroxide, I can't remember what that story was. There was three things. It was all cleansing. It was all cleaning, making sure you have protocols for cleansing, and stop using the antibiotics. In other words, AI may have given us the nine probable, we found one that worked. We still don't want to use it. Now I want you to attach that decision problem to your life, to the problem that they're attaching to making this AI make decisions in any part of your life. As I talked about last week, the attorney is going to get sanctions for using an AI program to write his briefs, and he didn't believe it could lie, folks. It could lie. It's not a lie. It's just not paying attention. I guess maybe you did it because you wanted to be lazy, but it makes errors. It has to be checked, and it has to be rechecked and then tested. Using AI, you're like five steps down the path of perdition of maybe, certainly, bad outcomes. And yet our whole existence is being wrapped up into it, and the military is guiding us in putting us into that. They're using it in how they make their decisions, and they're putting that on us with how they implement at warp speed. This is one of the cases, at warp speed, what was going to happen. And you saw what happened. Is this really so hard to figure out? I'm not saying that they used the AI to come up with it. That was before AI, them coming up with that. The technology they were using was more the techniques in the lab. But this is what they can now attach to AI. And this case here shows you the error-prone nature of it. What is science coming out, or the peers now coming out? We see that there's a problem with the paperwork. That wasn't new. We found out China was dumping papers and studies on to prove certain things. And again, all because everyone's going to get a grant or some money to do something, apparently, and there's no real check and balance. Recently, now it's been seen. Again, it's an ongoing story. But again, take your studies with a grain of salt, and you know the government's going to pick and choose what they cherry pick, what they want. Over 300 COVID-19 papers withdrawn for not meeting standards of scientific soundness. 300. Now, that's on top of the other ones that I've reported on. Research journals. So now those journals are now suspect. And this is just an developing of how you watch your whole world. It's the Matrix. It's not a movie. How the whole world seems to be corrupt anymore. I don't really know if it was not corrupt before. I don't know that it was so corrupt anyway. There seemed to be a more distinct process. I learned that there was processes that looked like they were being followed. And then somewhere we translated into today. After the advent of computers, I'm talking about the newer stuff, not the old wired vacuum tube stuff. No, not that stuff. No, the real efficient, more efficient ones are coming even further. But 300 COVID papers withdrawn for not meeting scientific standards is consensus. It's the method. People are being caught out because those of you, my listeners, even those that don't listen, that have this insight, that are just fed up, and maybe even insulted in their own fields, are looking at this and saying, we got some what is this? I'm going to study it. And they get their, they do their study and they find a problem. And then they call attention to it. They don't sit like crickets. They get involved. They get integrated with what they're doing. And they make a noise. No more than a cricket noise. Research journals have withdrawn well over 300 articles of COVID-19 due to compromised ethical standards and concerns about the publication's scientific validity. We got two things. It's what we saw in the first couple articles here. They're talking about their careers. Then you see they talk about how they got that. Oh, you remember the hockey stick book? Remember, those were on models. Those are algorithms. Those are AI in a way. I think they would be considered as a using an algorithm to find a pattern, to come up with an outcome. That's programmed. And as I've been saying over and over for decades, our models can't be complex enough to do that what they need. And it's not comprehensive enough. Our knowledge isn't extended far enough. We're coming more and more to put variables in those knowledges. But if you look carefully, and I have so much more to say about some of this, we're just finding out certain things about nature. Scientists, oh, I didn't know it could do that. Well, I guess I said, I'm not going to get to it, but funguses that absorb carbon dioxide. Everyone knows this. Trees put it out. Fungi in the ground, the largest organism, if I can make it one organism in the world, sucks up carbon dioxide like a sponge. And I can't get to that story. But if that's not in the model, what are we going to do? What's our AI coming up with? Garbage in, garbage out. And our life is being scrutinized by this automatically is really the secret part of the problem. You won't have an interjection. This is no similar than you get to your token citizenship. You have an obligation to the one who issues that token. And your behavior and what you're expected to do is controlled by their obligations under ESG, the home rule of the technocrat. Based on what? 300 COVID papers when they need you to go do your injection without the law that you didn't assert that they don't have the right and the power because they're not local and they didn't do the first step in the process and there's at least five more behind that. And then there's still a decision to make of what you need to do actually because the power is actually between you and your doctor, the doctor, the exclusive functionary for the COVID-19. Had everybody done what I was suggesting, you didn't even need these studies. Whether they were right or wrong is the whole point I'm trying to impress with people. I still don't see any reflection. I get silence, crickets by the so-called experts. They either are ignorant or they're change agents. Or they're ego-driven. And that's even, like I said, that may be even worse. They don't respond. Not even to deny or show a counter-proof or a parallel proof. Anything. Nothing. And this is I do that just to keep my bearing. Essentially for you all, so I can keep certain that as if I'm running from a foundation that's not overthrown, I'm going to continue to tell you to do that so that you have a foundation that can't be overthrown. And your job, if you wish to choose to do it, is to make sure you have that foundation in you. It's not somewhere you go search. It's in you. And it's a tool for you. That's your tool. And so this is what I do behind the woodshed, I hope. For people, I can see some reflection of that. It's not that everybody doesn't. I can see also that people, they think they get the idea and so they don't listen no more or they listen but they think they can sit passively. There's so much coming against us. I don't see how we sit quiet against the oppression that's coming. And don't put our objection forward. And it doesn't have to be a lot. Just focus in on what your skill set is to make you your statement the best one. And then we move. And you move for you. And directly you're moving for everybody else that couldn't because of that, whatever skill that makes you separate, different, and that unique being that we are on doing. So here, COVID-19, we can't rely. There's no experts. There's actually. These studies have really kind of amazed me. When I looked at what was required for the scientific process, I didn't understand how you could write so much paper, to tell you the truth. I don't even know how you do that with the amount, the actual science that has to go on, the actual testing and the checking and the double thinking, and am I doing this right? Am I doing that test correctly? Is there bias in that? Just not because I'm biased, but because of the way I've set the test up. There's a lot to being science-y and really trying to come up with information. It takes time, and that's a problem. That's where the career thing comes up. That's the excuse thing. That's the excuse. So it's not meeting standards. Well, I'm wondering what the standards are when we run on fraud or fraud-chi. People have no authority at all. I mean, that's even worse. Not only is your word no good, you don't have a power to make the word. And look at the societies that were swayed, people, the populations that were swayed by this stuff. It's not just that you didn't agree. It's that there was a basis for why they didn't have the right to be speaking at all that blows me away. I don't even have an argument with these folks because you don't have a power to have a say. So it's, what you're spewing is noise, is a nullity. I don't even have to really respond. I've been trying. Hopefully, you get folks get this, what I'm saying. If there's no power to speak in an official, you don't have to listen. Now, you may have to tell them that, and where's your authority? Where's your jurisdiction? How'd you show you complied with your duties and obligations? You may have to assert that because the criminal will not stop because you just say nothing. But that you don't have really anything more to say. What have I said? It's the presumption of innocence, actual presumption of innocence sitting there as an obstruction shield that you stand by. Then where do we go? Do we go by their opinions? Do we go by experts? No, we don't have anything to say. But when we see now that the experts come up with stuff, it's still wrong. But now if they go to the AI, it may be 6,600 different potentials that they could have come up with, run down to 240, well, real potentials, and then 9 somewhat potentials that look like one of them might work. That never gets the airing, certainly not in MSM and anything else. It couldn't even happen even behind the woodshed, that we just have to know that system is what it does. I can't happen from behind the woodshed because I'm not in that field to be able to tell you that would be the fact before the fact. And this is one of our weaknesses. We can only do so much, go so far, know so much. But we can know that much in order to protect ourselves, which I hope I'm showing you is done behind the woodshed. It's you bringing any miscreant against you here to teach them what they were supposed to do. That means you need to have a knowledge in you. You and the official in the cage, who comes out? I'm hoping that you get enough knowledge of technique, methods, and observations of what to be looking for with this broadcast that you can protect yourself in most cases where officials come against you. So the studies that were error were used as facts by experts. Everyone's using these studies. I'm suggesting nobody needed any studies, nobody needed any experts to understand whether or not local officials were correct in circumscribing or describing what your rights would be. And so we have a little story here that's kind of indicative where what we're talking about in communicable disease law and things is the public safety, health, and welfare, the police powers. And a little story pops up, was interesting, not something so much in studies, not something so much in opinion, but there was apparently a real problem that the city council needed to stop, they thought, or they think, or maybe they did. I don't know. I'm not those people there. Plymouth Hoe Palm Trees Cut Down by Council in Bid to Stop People Having Sex in Public. Authorities already under fire for Amanda Way tree falling is criticized for lopping palm at shelter, which is a magnet for sex and drugs. The Plymouth City Council was accused of butchering more trees after it cut down palms growing on a hoe in order to stop people using the area for sex and drug taking. The authority, which has come under heavy criticism following the felling of 110 mature trees in the city center, has admitted chopping large shrubs, including cabbage palms, near the waterfront. And so here's a council, a government that has a police power, who wants to stop drug use and illicit sex, I suppose. Never explained how that works. But I was wondering, Plymouth Hoe stopping sex and drugs, maybe they should stop referring to it as a hoe if you want to stop drug use and public sex opportunity. And maybe stop encouraging the hoe neighborhood, let alone apologize to the hoe neighborhood for it, as you'll find in the story. Maybe our folks in seats of decision don't quite really look at the correct problem. I guess you don't ask a hoe to not do drugs and offer illicit sex. WHO group co-chair calls for prioritizing actions that may restrict civil liberties. So where the WHO community had their visual spaces adulterated due to what appears to be a problem, a name-calling problem, and misidentifying the people you're dealing with. The WHO, not the rock group, or not even the little WHO people of WHOville, Just the World Health Organization group co-chair calls for prioritizing actions that may restrict individual liberties. So these governmental, these are a non-governmental agency playing government. Before we have a governmental agency being a government, attempting to stop what it would be within their police power. The non-governmental agency doesn't have police power. And yet, we see what's happened, and based on these false studies that were AI-generated as well, or a non-governmental organization looking to circumscribe your individual liberties is the problem with the transformation that's going on with the world and what they learned to do with the COVID switch. The unelected health agency makes another power grab during pandemic treaty negotiations. This is the ongoing story. I'm hoping some of you, I've heard some of you are or would were going to continue working and start to work with representatives in order to put forward what there was supposed to happen to show the WHO is foreign, has no authority, can't be given authority, as well as the federal government can't be given authority because our organic establishment requires that local health matters are locally determined by due process. In this case, it would be communicable disease law. So where we see Plymouth didn't have an objective basis, we see our failure. Why I was telling you go to the objective basis, go to the law when you come to that point, when you come to this discussion, what's the power of the government to do anything? And you have to describe what that limited power is. And typically that would be administrative as well. So those of you that are involved locally, you would go in and before they started cutting trees, you'd start to work at all the alternatives. As I've explained how that all starts working when you live under administrative rule. In some regard, the board there would, the council, would have authority over the lands of the municipality. And so you got to give sway to that, but there's also balancing condition. What's the least intrusive action? But that's not the way a non-governmental organization works. As we see, they're already going to grab your individual rights by restriction. They don't talk about making it better. No, they're going to restrict. This is all what it's about. And this is that treaty is supposedly treaty moving through. I think people have an input here. You can at least educate. There's a few representatives and senators, I'm sure, that'll pay attention. Again, package it like I've been suggesting to you in the black and white so that there's no, you don't have an opinion. They couldn't have an opinion. And you show the order. I've explained that. It's really summary, a summary discussion that you counter and you have a voice in to stop these guys, these foreigners, from coming in like they did with Covey Swindle in Washington, like it did with Covey Swindle, to impose upon the local jurisdiction that had the authority and understand they did it with a bribe. We may not be looking at that with the WHO because they don't have the money. They're always begging for the money. That should show you something else. But it's the agreement of the federal government looking out into the world as an agent of the people of the United States, as individual nation states. I know that's a fiction anymore, but anyway, it's there to think about. Why are the states different even still and today? But we have the ability to push back real quickly and denounce any authority to even be in this so-called treaty. There's no treaty that can be made. If you want to make a protocol of methodologies that nations start working consistent with their laws for due process so that we can head off something that's real, that's a whole different thing. But that's not a law. That's not a treaty. That's just how we would get together and understand when you work together to fight a common foe, we should do it this way. That's all administrative. You don't even have to know about that. There's no law. As long as it doesn't trespass the due process, as long as it's respectful of due process. When you're attacking and restricting individual rights right up front, you know they're backward. Absolutely backward. There's no need for it. And the ultimate answer for the United States, and I have to say only here I'll talk about the United States of America, but I think it's everywhere where they have a communicable disease law because it's all rule of law and democracy brand of injustice that pretends to be showing you what's going on that they deny to you when you go look for the objective basis that they wrote in the communicable disease law that was protecting you. None of there's any powers there. None of it is given to the government, ultimately. And the only thing that they have is when you finally are that contagious principle, when you are the cause and there's no doubt about it, and you're the arsonist and you won't stop running your gas can around with your match, then they have the power to shut you down really hard. Up until then, there's a decision that you make. It's not in the government. So none of this is in the government whatsoever until they can show that you're the arsonist with the match, with the intent. That won't stop. And then what do they have? Death? No, it's only quarantine. They take away your match. They take away your gasoline. They stick you in a room until they figure out that you're not going to do that anymore, or you've lost the contagious principle. You've lost it, so you can't be a problem to society. That's where that's supposed to work. It's not working to restrict liberties up front. So any organization that's doing this, and if the United States government and any of its representatives are allowing this is a discussion, they are in breach of the laws of the United States. That's making war on the laws of the United States. That is the modus operandi of all these sustainable climate change type crowds. Like John Kerry, I was talking about J.F. Kerry, like I was talking about last week. The continuum of this. He's agreeing to this restriction. We're going to find out the people that agree with people by association are agreeing to the ramifications of what their decision are to be under reviewed by your actions and the intent of your action. So there's really no leeway here of anybody being able to look into someone's actions or to find the intent and or find out whether or not they mean harm or they allow harm, which is the other side of it. If you're not calling it out, you're agreeing to it. It's pretty simple, the problem with all this. And continue with the AI. Continue where everyone, all these companies are going with AI. Continue with the information that's now study error-prone. Find out that even the technology in its best use is 1 out of 240 out of 6,600. Correct. 1. And we move into the purveyor of that information. Into now we see Google renews its partnership with the WHO. Two non-governmental organizations. The Google is getting massive benefits from legislation in the United States to be the purveyor of what information you're going to see. All AI-driven here soon. And if not on the Internet, it's going to be in your computer. It's going to be part of the hardware. Fast-wired. See, hardwired means fast, not software. Not like you have now, got to go through the Internet. It's going to be inside your computer. They have to do it that way because it's so intensive. You need supercomputers, essentially. How fast our computer's getting. They can do a system on a chip and it hardwires and speeds up the process and offloads all that AI stuff from your computer so it can still do what it normally has to do to run your computer. But Google renews its partnership with the WHO. Well, criticism of the WHO reached a new heights in the last few years. But who cares? Google is the go-to place. Everyone makes it the go-to place. I block Google as much as I possibly can. I haven't used Google for a search. That's diminished me. I wouldn't know it because I have nobody to compare my work with, but I use other search engines. I don't use their services. I find workarounds. I try not to give my time and my energy and their ability to keep track of me to this company at all. They work with criminals, war criminals in the world. Google has renewed its partnership with the World Health Organization to provide what it calls factual information about different diseases and conditions. The partnership is positioned as a way to combat what is the spread of medical misinformation observed during the pandemic. I just have to say, what do they know is misinformation when you find out that the studies, and this has been going on for years in so-called science, are incorrect and error-prone? And you get an AI that's programmed to do its mission, and it says, I'm going to disregard all that. I'm just going to take whatever the so-called expert says, and I'm going to print that for people, and that's all they get to see. It's just nothing more than a perception management tool. And Google's involved with the WHO, under the control of the United States government, who doesn't say no. And who will, as we see here, move on with the COVID swindle to continue making it appear that there's something going on there. Again, I've said the WHO is a broker for pharma. The P's are silent, relative to the world pharmacological intrusion on people. They're brokers. They're commercial brokers. That's the best sense I can make of what happened in the COVID swindle, where they're lying through their teeth and they're saying everything is safe and effective when it's absolutely not. It can't be. That's the other thing. And then upon what? It was the actual initial problem. What are they working? What are they brokering? Pharma, when they haven't identified an infectious agent. The purported euphemism of infectious agent is actually just a protein that's synthesized in a tech lab. What is that? But moving on, we got some brokering to do we find out U.S. FDA approves Pfizer. The P's are silent here, I'm telling you, folks. Pfizer's COVID antiviral pill. How fast this happened is really kind of astonishing. But when you find out these folks are brokers for Harma, it starts to make a lot more sense. And remember that we were using these fraudulent emergency authorizations, and then you find out none of it was applicable because it was a DOD attack. That warps me. Just as I was saying, then I think it was Sasha Latipova came out with the contract that proved it. So I look at it from the, I know them by their deeds, and I know them a bit by the science. I knew them a bit about the biology as I learned it, moving in out of 2019 into 2020. I proclaimed the Operation Hindsight 2020 against us was coming, medical martial law, whether anybody recognized it by the military. Hidden, we have the contracts that show all of this was a crime. All of this was biowarfare attack. Why? Because when you lost the local law could not identify what they were putting on us at warp speed as a vaccine because it wouldn't prevent and control. It was a bioweapon. It lost its dual use. All this is pretty simple to go through. I don't know why people missed it, and people are still missing. They talk about dual use, but they don't understand what it meant. There's a culpability behind that. And so they got to keep promoting that it's something. The United States government has to promote that it's something. So they come out with this COVID antiviral pill. I won't go through the stupidity behind this. COVID was only coronavirus. Nobody has a cure for coronavirus. And yet they will try to promote this, make it easier for you to take this stuff. Pfizer can now sell Paxlovid, consisting of two oral drugs, ritonavir and nirmatrelvir. At a commercial, you know, it'll be easier to learn Russian again and get it back. It'd be easier to speak the language of Russian. At a commercial rates on the private market in the United States. So now they got two drugs they're going to sell. The FDA goes ahead and clears it, safe and effective, folks, on something they never identified. And it's only for COVID-19 symptoms, which was what? Nothing more than the flu or the cold, common cold. Do you need all this for common cold symptoms, for flu symptoms? No, but they're going to go ahead and push it down your throat if you'll accept it. Right? So this is what we have to start to watch. These governmental agencies, I don't know what more to say. We all can say that these folks are not here to help us, but here's the proof that they're not here to help us. At some point, we're going to have to take that knowledge to stop them from hurting us. I'm really thinking more of the little ones coming up, and I mean the little ones 30 years old and younger. Those of us that we moved up through there and we were still kind of clueless but having a good time for a while. And then reality starts to set in. And then we get up even older and then we see things like Covey swindle. And we start to wonder what really happened in the world. Again, it finally comes home and it causes harm, or potentially so. Now, the next couple of things that I have for us were information that was explaining the United States and its military uses bioweapons labs, which they purport to be dual use so that they can do it. Otherwise, it's a violation. But that they do it in other countries so they can evade United States law. Apparently, when the United States does it somewhere else, it's not the United States doing it. And so this is a continuation where the FDA and the CDC and the WHO and the military start to pull resources together offline of the United States law in order to do what the military needs. And we're seeing this in the information of the biolabs in Ukraine. What we now find a report that the Russians did. And remember I've said that what the United States will do to a foreign country, to foreign people, they'll do to you, is now, again, more information. And I suppose everybody has figured it out for themselves, can make it importance that they want to, can understand, want to understand how it works, how they deceive us, why they do what they do, how they then understand it sufficiently that you turn around and look at them doing it inside the country to us, the people of the United States, that we thought or purport to, they say, to serve the people. They're serving up the people is what they're doing now. But we have now the report from Russia's investigation about the U.S. biolabs. And it's concluded, they've concluded the report, and it's online. And we can use this information. We can say, oh, we can dismiss it because Russia did it. Or we can understand Russia was on the front line of a bioweapon genetic genocide attack potential, which the American biolabs could perpetrate. And evidence before the Russian-Ukraine thing happened suggested so. Before. I mean, remember I was talking, I put it in the memory hole. I should put this stuff on the memory hole too. For the Luger biolab in Tulsi, I think it is, in Georgia. Yeah, this is all connected to all that. And we now see their report. We can take advantage of it if we want, I suppose, that what the United States does, how it goes about hiding. I said earlier on, I just mentioned it once or twice, the United States does, it complains about Russia, but the United States does and uses Russian nested doll theories in order to protect itself by putting things inside of things, bodies in, you know, inside of bodies. It's our corporate setup in the United States of America, how you can, and I think the Democrats are using this, we're using front organizations in order to cover what you're actually doing. And along the way, it gets perturbed, and more types of entities or people get involved that are really not supposed to do that. And so we see the corruption over time, but it's all hidden. Again, to read these this report, and I've got a couple of links. Some work well enough, some didn't, depending on the browser I used. But it says, it did make an admission right up front, which I want to point out to, which everybody was so certain about how to identify this thing, how to make sure that they knew what was happening, what we were fighting as a people, what we were afraid of. What that the objective basis in the law for us was saying otherwise, was saying that they can't know this way. I didn't even need to be a medical doctor to figure out there was a lot more to figuring out what was the infectious agent than just someone making a claim for it. That I noticed this little statement, and you come through and read it, how the United States government is doing this, what Russia found, how the United States covers up, how they involve people that are not supposed to be involved, with the type of materials that they're using, how they make it done. But they also made this admission in their report, which also causes me a question for Russia. How did they understand to make their Sputnik V vaccine, so-called? And again, that was the adenovirus style, which was like the J&J, which just got pulled. We haven't heard any stories one way or the other with the ramifications in Russia regarding this. But their team found, and, or admitted that it was added, let me start the paragraph. The scientists, however, emphasize that the existence of this American project does not diminish the seriousness of the use of the conventional biological weapons, such as smallpox, anthrax, tularemia, and the plague, all of which can be modified to enhance their deadly properties. Added to this is the objective difficulty in determining the true cause of outbreaks of infectious diseases, what can be both natural and artificial. Thus, there is a considerable number of risks to monitor and control simultaneously. I think this is a fairly large admission that what we saw everywhere was not treated with the certainty of this unknown relative to what was supposed to happen that is reflected in the communicable disease law. That we could have vector, we could have infectious agents, we could have things that were both natural and artificial. And for the United States, and I think all communicable disease law, when you find it's an artificial substance, you have a bioweapon. And this is what I said earlier, long time ago. If they were to actually do the test and identify the CDC had the patent on a synthetic protein, not a natural one, that would be automatically a bioweapon. And so this little statement here in the massive reading here that's going to be, you'll find in these links, it's amazing what the United States has pulled together to cover itself up. And you get a little hint of that with the Sasha Latypova contracts. And the military figured out a lot of vulnerability. They plugged apparently most every hole that they could. Every Achilles heel was protected, apparently, on the surface. Except the one I'm pointing out to, they couldn't protect against, which was the lie, the ultimate lie. that this shows us, they say, the objective difficulty of determining the true cause. And then they say this word, outbreaks. And remember, I said that was very important in the United States law. And it's mostly everywhere where there's a communicable disease law. You have outbreaks, and then you have epidemics. You never get to a pandemic. They're saying the objective difficulty in just doing the beginning step is known, and it has a fork in the road. Is this cause, it has to be identified, is this cause natural or synthetic? Is it artificial? So don't underestimate what you might read in this article from the Russians. They expose the methodology. When reading through it, I couldn't find a fault in their interpretation, though I didn't see their evidence. From vast readings of things that are going on and the continual lies from the United States government and how they lie, the way they lie, watching those euphemisms, I call them euphemisms of what really is going on, to cover what's really going on, to watch those techniques, again, it gives you an insight and ability to discern what you're seeing. The Russians picked up on it. I guess I can also assume that they are looking to protect themselves, and they may maybe speculate a bit beyond, but I didn't see too much of that actually. They lay out all their holdings as to what the United States government is doing incorrectly relative to international law, what's going on, what should going on. And they identify it as a threat to them, a genocidal threat to them. And they point out that the United States puts these labs, as I did here just a couple weeks ago, I put a link in, showed the map. These labs are everywhere, wherever they want to control people. They want to control regimes. They want to control populations, essentially, what that ends up being. They want to control the geopolitics of the world. They identify that with how the organizational structure works and what the United States does to make what they call dual purpose cover what is in the United States law, a crime. They identify all this in here, which is fascinating to me. And again, I just have to hand over a bit of the ignorance I have on what they were looking at, balanced against what I've seen in the law and what the United States does, what it continues to do, and more importantly, what right do they have to do it? They don't. I can't see any right they have to do it. And so you will have, if you want to put the time in, you'll understand what the government does. You'll see how the government operates. And I say turn it into the United States and look at lots of subject matter areas that they do this sort of thing. As I talked about leverage funding, that goes to a nonprofit organization that may or may not have the right to do what they're doing, but they come with a good story, so the government gives them that fascist, that private control of a certain aspect, as long as they stay within the bounds. But we find out those bounds are controlled ultimately by the Bar Association on the extent. They just have to make it look good. Why those of us that are understanding a lot of this listen to these folks, politicians and other decision makers and all these movement people, we can't agree with what they're saying. But there's a step beyond. We can't agree, but that's also showing you there's an attack going on. And we may understand that in principle, but we're not stopping. We're not pulling together each one of us and maybe a group of us that have the same intention, pulling together to say, okay, this is what the United States does there. They're doing it here. We need this stopped. As I've told you here coming in this last 10 years, you're going to have to have laws that express the accountability, that express the condition to stop it. And you're going to get a lot of pushback. The pushback relative to the promotions like the LGBT rights above everybody else's. As I've told you, my instruction was from a gay guy. The gay community, this is decades ago, he's explaining this stuff to me. I was clueless, had no understanding about any of it. That the gay community then saw what we're seeing today as a political move that terrified them, because their inclination was to keep private matters private. And they realized that these movements that were coming were going to make that an issue and make that ultimately a problem. And what we see today is that's not only a problem, but it's going to create divisions which people will eventually stand up against. And we might be seeing that in California where Armenian, generally Armenian parents are not liking the curriculum that's coming through the schools in Glendale, California, of all places. Again, I thought that was interesting because that was a central point for the mask issue and some resistance there with Glendale. And so it's kind of neat to see there's resistance in that society. But we're seeing an exaltation of things that are, again, privacy, the private things should be kept private. They've now been made a thing, and people that don't want that thing and don't want that to be impressing their own are resisting. That's another form of an attack. It's a long-term attack. And my gay friend was talking to me about this, and he was literally terrified what the exposure was going to cause in the future. I don't know, have any doubt that he was telling me the truth. I see the truth in what he said, and it's playing out today. And this is all done as an attack on you, each one of you. Whether you decide it's enough to do anything about it, I don't know. The parents, and that's the problem. They're not. They should be mothers and fathers in Glendale. They're coming as parents. They're coming as custodial agents of wards of the state instead of the mother and father of sons and daughters, and essentially pulling their sons and daughters out of those schools would be, again, part of your election to those so-called services that are being corrupted. I don't know what all the answers are going to be. There are answers that each one of us has to decide to do relative to what's on us. But we see here the United States, the analysis through Russia, the analysis is that the United States is like nested Russian dolls, putting organizations together, people together, to advance a bioweapons system that appears to be genocidal in its intention and covered under a facade of legality, of legalism, which, again, I've seen over and over, and we should be very seriously looking at how the government does this. It's what corporations do in doing their various tax avoidance schemes as well. We may have also seen that in the Panama Papers, these kinds of things. It's known. It's not unknown, I guess, is the point. The United States military does it right to the toppest level, the toppest quality. Russia apparently has found that out. Because why would they find that out? That's on their doorstep. And this is part of the problem. The governments, the DOD, is not bashful to want to go kill people. That's what it's for. And so let's move that, what it's for, what the government's for, what the FDA approves, the system of so-called ethical responses and ethical action together back to the United States, where we see the FDA authorizing Pfizer's COVID-19 pills. Take more pills. Take the ones I guess you need to, but take the ones that they're going to hand you. Sackler family given immunity in $6 billion payout deal for its role in the U.S. opioid epidemic. And so these opioids are said to be legal. They're supposed to be a function for them. When companies start taking profit, they want to take more profit. And this company, Purdue Pharma, declared bankruptcy in 2019 while it was facing over 2,000 lawsuits about its part in the opioid epidemic. Now, you say epidemic, it wasn't a pandemic. Interesting, I thought there. But the judge in this case did an interesting thing. As long as the company paid, it found that the people who did it didn't need to go to jail. And so you see the Bar Association stepping in. And you see for yourself, once you establish that enough punishment's enough, the court can go with it. And in this case, the judge was convinced that enough was enough. And these people aren't going to go. I mean, guys, I would think that if you go and kill millions and millions of people, or million or thousands of people, there should be some time there. You should send the message injustice. It's injustice. It sends the message that there is justice. This judge felt that the money was enough that would cover. But that goes to the government, right, as a penalty. Where's that money going to? More slush funds? More corruption inside leverage funding that goes back into more governmental institutions that squander the money to do more FDA approvals for more drugs in other areas, waiting on companies to be hoping that they'll be ethical. I don't really have more commentary about what's going on here. We see, though, a limitation and a penalty. These people don't need to, I guess you're too big to fail. We don't want to kill the golden, the goose that's laying the golden egg. We can't take out the people that are making those decisions. We'll just charge them bucks. Because that's how the world goes around. That's how this nation works. And if you have enough bucks, you can kill people. Well, look at Ukraine. Majority of COVID hospital, COVID, not 19, but COVID hospital deaths were due to untreated bacterial pneumonia. Another story about the problem I was telling you early on. What if they misdiagnosed this? Since they're not diagnosing the infectious agent, what if they misdiagnose it? It's now coming out. I told you it would take a couple years to come out. Well, hospitals sticking to the strict hand-me-down, highly profitable COVID protocol may have doomed a majority admitted COVID-19 patients to death due to the perfect storm of institutional failure, a new study showed. They won't show the institutional failure of the local health official failing the obligations and duties to determine an infectious agent. And I told you this at the time, this was going to be a problem. And here's the problem. The other problem that I told you would happen. If they go down this road and they don't identify the infectious agent, whatever is actually killing people will never be identified. And this is what they've now identified. That's what happened. And that's what's been happening to all these other deaths that are going on and harms that are continuing. Notwithstanding the fact that when they did all that, if you did have some sort of ailment like cancer, you couldn't get yourself treated anymore. All that stuff was stopped. So they've identified that they misidentified bacterial pneumonia, which makes sense. Guys. I mean, that's just what it sounded like it was. In fact, I might have said it myself, though I don't remember. I do remember saying, appeared that the statistics were saying pneumonia was killing people, not these symptoms, but pneumonia. Well, pneumonia is a symptom too. More directly, we can understand where it's at. And in this case, it could be identified by the cause of a bacterial agent. And they found it. And those people died, been put on ventilators, something that was counter to what they should have been. And they were killed. They also mentioned the failure of the PCR test to cover that up. And I've talked about all this. I'm kind of sad here just watching the truth of this coming forward. Grateful to not have people around me subject to it, but that didn't help the rest, like in New York. That didn't help the rest of the country or the world that were murdered. And a lot of it was because local officials were derelict. No, it wasn't Fauci, folks. I'm going to say this again. I see lots of people, we got to get into it. He's fallen from the news cycle anyway, but no, it's not Fauci. Yeah, he had his part, but it's so distant at this point. The local failure was the failure that killed people. As I told you, you don't start with a pandemic in a local jurisdiction. You don't start with a presumptive pandemic on top of that. The law for due process, apparently they know how to do it over there in Plymouth Hoe. They just cut down trees. That's the wrong answer, but it's okay. We're going to do it anyway. They at least had a public health problem they could articulate. Sex and drugs, they got to stop it. They couldn't even do that in the COVID-19, I don't care what you call that, because it wasn't any of that. And yet, they found what I told you. People will be misdiagnosed because everyone's focused on the COVID, the symptoms instead of the cause. I'm just sad. I was so sad here, I'm not going to cry, but saddened to see how simple the answer was that people needlessly died. And it was by a methodology I said would happen. Which means that it doesn't take an expert to see this, is the point. We all can see the truth. And as long as we didn't have outrage enough at the time to come as a mass of people to protest, if you will, a way to protest. People were dying left and right. And we either thought couldn't do anything about it or it didn't matter to us. So, exactly what happened. They used something to cover real stuff. This is not the needle in the haystack I was talking about either. The needle in the haystack is where this military and these biolabs come up with a real infectious agent that can mimic or look like and can't be tested away from a natural agent. Like I said, an artificial one, that's a bioweapon. They can make it look like a natural one, or it is, and modified. That's the serious one. It'll take us 3 years to at least 3 years to figure it out. More than 3 years, apparently. Machine learning links unresolving secondary pneumonia to mortality in patients with severe pneumonia, including COVID-19, is the test, and they used AI to identify. And this is one of those things that's kind of interesting, where AI can point to only really one thing. And when you go look, that's what you see. Now this is what I'm saying. It consolidates all this data down into a narrower band of question of choice. Then you look. In this case, because it found the right thing, it was objectively determined. This study can tell us that they were the COVID covered things that people died from that were not treated. And it doesn't take a genius or an expert to figure out if you're covering the cause, it's going to kill people. And remember, this has all had to be a premeditated plan because we watched the flu, the influenza, the seasonal influenza that can't have a red pill for this one, can't have a black pill, can't have a blue pill, you can't have a rainbow pill to stop this. That we saw those numbers transferring into symptoms called COVID. And we found out that within the symptoms of the flu are pneumonia. What kills people is pneumonia. This is not even hard to figure out what was going on. I articulated that at the time. That AI comes to show you that's exactly what happens, and they could check. And I guess they needed the excuse of AI because people think it's an authority to check, because what happened is experts or the officials had said it was misinformation to cause the question. So this is an interesting twist on the use of AI to actually identify what was actually going on, even though it's after the fact. Now, is your life going to be put on hold while AI makes a decision that's an error that no one can test for 3.5 years if it can test? Is not a future I think you want for yourself, I don't think. Where you make all these decisions without any proof, that you wait, you declare safe and effective without having any actual proof, where the so-called authorities, that the powers that be, they say, are running roughshod without any proof. In the United States of America, police power requires them. Where were we as a people? And part of that, I think, is in what I noticed in another post, where it was explaining a side effect of what was authorized to be an agent to stop the contagion. And then we found out it wouldn't. In that European agreement for, I think it was Pfizer, for their Comirnaty and Spikevax juice, they did another study and they found out, as we were seeing the numbers coming in early, that heavy menstrual bleeding added as a side effect now to that, even though it's been safe and effective. But I found it as the hitch and the giddy up with people's perception was, it's evidenced in a post from a tweet where they highlight what appears to be an error, where they commingle infertility with heavy menstrual bleeding as a side effect to these juices. And then I started to believe that I see how people won't pay attention and how they get obstinate and you lose the point. And we lose the refinement of what actually is going on. PRAC has recommended that heavy menstrual bleeding should be added to the product information as a side effect of unknown frequency of the mRNA COVID vaccine Comirnaty and Spikevax. Heavy menstrual bleeding, heavy periods, may be defined as bleeding characterized by an increased volume and or duration which interferes with a person's physical, social, emotional, and material quality of life. Cases of heavy menstrual bleeding have been reported after the first, second, and booster doses of Comirnaty and Spikevax. Remember, this is the one in Europe that was approved. Not just authorized, but this was approved, safe and effective. this is a side effect that's added after the fact. Not a good sign, I could say. PRAC finalized the assessment of this safety signal after reviewing the available data, including cases reported during clinical trials. There it is. That's where we got our information. The cases spontaneously reported in ODRA vigilance in findings in the medical literature. I guess I won't say much more. What I want to go to is our disconnect as people and understanding of what's happening. I have the discussion in another link explaining a little bit more of this, reproducing this notice, and it says the final assessment of the PRAC finalized the assessment of the safety signal after reviewing the available data, including cases reported during clinical trials, cases spontaneously reported, as I just read. And then they say that the available, after reviewing the data, the committee concluded that there is at least a reasonable possibility that the occurrences of heavy menstrual bleeding is causally associated with these vaccines, and therefore recommended the update of the product information. What I want to show you here is a posting. Someone posted this story. It was a notice to us, for those of you women that may have experienced heavy menstrual bleeding, and I know of someone who did. No, they didn't listen to me about not getting the jab. No, they got it. Now they've had some problems, and this is one of the side effects, and some other things. So this kind of rang home a little bit, my knowledge of somebody that is affected by this happening. But what happens if someone conflates, to try and prove, I guess, their point of saying that this was disinformation, to say that the EU organization had said to put this as a side effect? They bring up and highlight in their post back in a tweet three findings that state, based on this conflating of the heavy menstrual bleeding with infertility. The report goes on to say that they don't think this heavy menstrual problem, a side effect, there's no evidence to say that infertility is caused. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how that wouldn't be something you want to test. They didn't test for that. They just made that claim. There's no data to support that there's infertility. A poster comes in to counter this observation and says it doesn't say anything about infertility. Stop causing misinformation. Well, the whole study is about heavy menstrual bleeding, not infertility. And I think this is evidence of how people who get into their mindsets don't keep their mind fluid to start looking at very detailed points and keep confined what the discussion is, because that's one of the things they did, is that if you didn't understand it, to focus your attention on the specifics of what they were saying, like the CDC saying there was no test. If you didn't understand how to read that, you thought there was a test. If you didn't confine exactly what they were saying to the words they were using, you thought there was a test. Same thing here. They're saying, oh, this doesn't affect, quit passing misinformation because it's about, it doesn't cause infertility. The comment is not about infertility. It's about heavy menstrual bleeding. And I think this is what we do as a society. That we get into our own prejudice bases, and those voices came out stronger when, again, this wouldn't have even come till today had everyone, even in opposition of someone like this, pointing to the wrong thing, if everybody would have said, ask the other, did you get a report from the local official saying you're an infectious principal? I didn't receive one. Did you get yours? And then, so if you don't get that, then what are we talking about? Until you do, we don't really have much to say to each other. Based in the safe and effective shot, juice, jab, whatever it is, 600,000 Americans per year are dying from COVID shots, says the top insurance analyst. Another repeat of the story, safe and effective, things that the government was setting up. When we look at the history of the story behind this, the report that their weapons attack at warp speed worked. And I say weapons attack without any reservation. It's because it could not prevent. It actually caused, but not the cause that they were claiming. And this is what we're handing over to the WHO by all these. If we don't get engaged with this, they're going to attempt to. I don't know how they can do it, but they're going to attempt to undermine the organic establishment of the states relative to the reserve powers for health. And inside those states, you have people that will kind of abuse their health. Kind of, for COVID, they did abuse, but even trying to stop drugs and sex, they don't quite answer it right. They want to destroy. and this is what we're leaving to the to officials. This is what the Bar Association, well, it's in their hands. This is what the Bar Association did with Toby Swindle. If the executive says we have a pandemic, we have a pandemic. That it didn't follow law, it apparently doesn't matter to people. But the ramifications of all this safe and effective stuff is that people have to pay the bill. The insurance companies, those of you that can have it and can get it, are saying that there's 600,000 Americans per year are dying from COVID shots directly. And I want to bring up here, never forget the retrospective on the media lies surrounding COVID. Again, the perception management. I don't think it's inconsequential to understand fully how they pulled this off. Like what Russia identified, what I've identified, how to stop it. The media, how it was an integral part of keeping people perception so that they essentially can't understand what they're reading. They conflate the issue. I'm going to bring in now infertility on a story that only talked about menstrual bleeding. That they admit they don't have the data for. I'm asking why not? Now that you see that, why not? Now we're looking for the extent of the chemical weapon collateral damage. Where are the experts to start doing that? I don't know. I don't want to get too beat down on this rehashing the history, but it's our future, I guess, is the problem I'm seeing. Retrospective on the medium lies surrounding COVID. Look at these as what they do and how they do to cause perception management. What I've been talking about now for months and months as we move into more and more of this. The ignorance in people. What we do, we put as an expert. And I'm not saying that they're not out there. People with knowledge that have been doing the field, there are some people out there. They may be far and few, farther and fewer in between now. We conflate concepts and points. We then attribute authority where it doesn't exist, and we never ask and empower our own, never ask, how did someone make me not innocent by their assertion? That's just a fraudulent statement. And then we have the other side now coming to promote. We need more protection. And I've said the protection's always been there. And so this shows us another, as I'm moving through this, and the experts that we make that don't exist, the thoughts that we believe we have that are authorities that don't exist, the people we might listen to, those that are making certain situations that we don't analyze to say, are these people that ignorant or are they change agents? What's their purpose to continue to make dumb statements? And I don't say that even from me judging. You learn enough to you say, no, that's a dumb statement. And I'm going to make one of those observations right here. Somebody who apparently has some authority was a doctor. Comes to my feed, and I've asked him about certain things, and he won't really respond. Nobody's folks respond about going to the root problem and why that's not being spoken, eliminating all these continuing abilities to continue the fraud, essentially. Dr. Batakara, he comes up, he's supposed to talk about, he wants to sound like he's on our side. But he says, it's time for laws limiting the power of public health institutions. As things stand, in the next pandemic, the lockdowns will reoccur. Dr. Batakara, on U.S. here, in U.K. Public Health Act, needs substantial reform. So as we have all these people talking about how the harms that are coming, we get a so-called doctor speaking. Now, he's a doctor. He's not a lawyer or not someone that knows the law, apparently. He says it's time for the laws limiting the power of the public health institutions to happen. Someone out of the UK is saying it needs to be substantially reformed. I'm suggesting this is an embarrassing ignorance in the fact that the local laws actually did the protection, but none of these people resorted to it. And when you come in to say you want to reform something, you have no common knowledge or application, you've never applied it yourself, you're dangerous, first of all, or you're a change agent. Because what they want to transform this into is the WHO treaty, isn't it? And so all these people that sound like they're, oh, the lockdowns were recurred, so we get all fired up, oh, this guy's talking about, oh, he wants the lockdowns to stop, is not listening, not understanding, didn't apply the most basic knowledge, not only in medical field, in communicable disease law, or the guidance of objective determination. Well, we find the Russians say it's objectively hard to determine a natural or a synthetic cause. not resorting in a law that was set, has the due process to protect you, saying it transforms us based in a soundbite that appears to sound like we want to stop the lockdowns, is ignoring the fact that the law already offers those protections. And I wonder where we are. Well, I can't wonder where we are if we don't notice that, if we pay attention to these people who look like experts, who we translate their expertise and ignorance as better than our own. We're not going to see the future they want coming to take us down. An embarrassing ignorance of that existing communicable disease law. I don't know what more that I can point out how bad it is that people do. They listen to this, and then they come in and they conflate, oh, it's more important to stop the lockdowns than it is to notice that the due process that you would have insisted on would have stopped them already 3 years ago. This is a post that just happened not even within a couple weeks ago. Now they're asking for reforms of a law that actually protects you. And I've told you they want those reforms to come in so they can take out that protection and translate it over to where? To a non-governmental or broker of harm. Handing the power to what we offer to these agencies that do authorizations for safe and effective when we don't even do the checks and balances for quality control and or the measure by which we do. Understand millions of people have been harmed or dead relative to this jab juice, which we now find out is a chemical weapon. CDC is quite fine with it. FDA is quite fine with it. But folks, you get 4 people that die from a bacterial infested eye drop, and they're all over it. I only bring this stuff up to show you the incongruity in the function of the agencies that we're putting so much, faith in. It has to be faith. Death toll from bacteria-infested eye drops reaches 4, says the CDC, and the CDC went nuts over it. What's interesting about this product is that this started a new channel of study. This it starts to show us no different than what we were thought was the pharmaceutical companies making the jab juice. It was actually the university lab systems to try and produce these millions and maybe billions of doses. There was no quality control. The quality control can lapse. But not only is there an incongruity between the safe and effective, how many people will die before they say no? They still haven't said no. They've actually offered, now authorized, a pill the FDA has in order to stop COVID. The eye drops here killed 4 people. The CDC's all over it. Then I found out that it's an India company that produces this stuff. So where a foreigner makes an eye drop here that has a bacteria in it that kills 4 people, the government's all over it to shut it down, to protect you, which is fair enough. Why didn't it do it for the COVID swindle unless they were involved? The problem here is we start finding out that foreign countries are making your medicine. Evidence of increase in mortality after introduction of diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine to children aged 6 to 35 months in Guinea. Then they say a time for reflection. I guess that's what I'm asking for. Where's our time of reflection? We're looking at all this nonsense moving. When are we going to start reflecting upon this harm that our government is allowing? It's total corruption, as we're seeing. The whole diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and oral polio vaccines were introduced to children in Guinea-Bissau in 1981. We previously reported the DTP is a target age for a group for 3 to 5 months and associated with higher overall mortality. DTP and OPV were also given to older children in the study we tested. We tested the effect of mortality in children aged 6 to 35 months. Go on and say, in the conclusion, although having a better nutritional status and being protected against 3 infections, 6 to 35 months old, DTP vaccinated children tended to have higher mortality than DTP unvaccinated children. All studies of the introduction of DTP have found increased overall mortality. Remember, these are in areas where there's U.S. biolabs testing all this out. They're trying to show that they have a protective capacity. This shows unvaccinated children, or at least healthier, it makes sense that they would be able to fight off disease as well. This is an organization that jump in where they killed millions with the COVID swindle, another type of vaccine that's showing a detriment. They just report on it after the fact, where four people die with an eye bacteria solution, and they're jumping all over it. It's not a consistent public health protection. Now we talk about this combined shot, multivalent shot, mentioning tetanus, and up pops a post. Dr. Kerry Maydej responding to what we thought was tetanus vaccine and its purpose. It's not at all what we've been told. And she'll explain that in a video I have through a post relative to what's going on. And interestingly, and not inconsistently with what appears to be these vaccines' intention, and kind of looking at that heavy flow menstruation that they didn't study the infertility causal effects for, which someone will step up and say, oh, but it didn't do that. Yeah, it didn't do that, but it says you're bleeding more, much more heavily. Dr. Kerry Maydej says that in this video says that it was in a phone call. The tetanus vax was actually an abortion and sterilization vax. It was worked over had a cumulative effect on the hormones that were used, that are in a woman, that eventually turns around on itself and, again, the immune system attacks the fetus. Tetanus is not about going against the bacteria. She says in this that there is no evidence at all, what we were told about that lockjaw and all. And I want to refer you to Aaron Long's article on Suspect Sky, Gary Long's daughter. And she writes about this video, and I'll refer you to her. She has more writing than I'll do here. And I say, so she's quoting a translation, what Kerry Maydej is talking about, saying, so why are they prescribing it? Why are those with good insurance getting it and those on welfare not? Fertility issues are very high for those receiving it. The WHO and NIH, since 1972, has been developing a tetanus vaccine for abortion and sterilization therapy. They have been putting the pregnancy hormone inside the tetanus vaccine, so every time you get it, it becomes a cumulative response. Your body will continue to have higher HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin levels. Your body learns to attack those spikes, which can end pregnancy very early, often before you even knew you were pregnant. They have used this in Latino countries, African and India, and Dr. Kerry believes they were absolutely using it here. Well, notice too, it says your body learns to attack those spikes. Here we have the spike protein condition in a different use, and we saw all that. Remember, the jab juice went right to the reproductive organs, and they didn't understand why, because it wasn't supposed to do that. Early on, we reported about that. So thank you to Aaron Long writing this up, a more expansive article showing that this looks like the technology goes after population control. What are the ongoing themes always on this? The future they want. There's too many people. That's in a place where there's a lot of people they want to get rid of. And the elements of premeditation are here as well, all driven by the United States biolabs, as we see the Russians showing up. And they tell you there are other places around the world for that purpose. Child deaths spark Indian cough syrup checks. Back to, I didn't realize how many of our medicines, if you take them, come from India. The medicines will undergo testing following the WHO alert and the deaths of 80 children in two countries last year. 80 kids die and they go nuts. Not that they shouldn't. What they do with the COVID swing? Crickets, right, folks? Just crickets. Till today. India will instigate a mandatory test in government-run laboratories of cough syrup destined for export after a spate with child deaths. This is where we start continuing. The government, supposed to be safe and effective on all this stuff, the Indian government now has to get involved for 80 kids who died from cough syrup because it had the quality controls that failed. Now they insist. What have you been getting before from India? You think you're not getting it. Apparently, and I have a study, a lot of generic drugs come from India. And just now they're having to put these government-run laboratories to mandatory testing all this stuff to make sure their products are safe. They bring up the WHO on all of this. And I want to point out, as I go through these stories, you're going to see the WHO mentioned in a lot of these stories, and I want to identify that there's an increasing reference to WHO's statements of caution, which is going to come on to another reasoning here. Why? Relative to this treaty as well. India exported cough syrups worth $17.6 billion in 2022 to 2023. And the United States, I believe I saw it intakes the Indian generic drugs at 80%. And India is just now putting mandatory quality controls to find out whether or not it'll kill children. I'm surprised we're not hearing more destruction. I'm wondering how much of the death and destruction we're getting isn't from this problem as well, because that's the other problem. You start covering up what's going on, it's hard to tell what to watch out for. Yet we see inside the pharmacological system intention to cause harm. 4 kids die, 80 kids die, governments get all over it. COVID, nothing. We have a problem. And this is going to be moving forward on when you, again, get your mind back to where the WHO wants a treaty, and now you see these doctors want to see your local laws that had the protection that no one used to be reformed. And I'm suggesting, and I've seen some of the changes now already, they want to remove those protections so you don't have them available in the future. While foreign governments sending their product out are not scrutinized at the level of, let's say, United States, even as bad as it is, though FDA will jump on something when 4 kids die. They are pretty silent about the murderous condition relative to the COVID swindle. We see also foreign products being used with this so-called new technology. It ends up being gene technology, being programmed software of life. Chinese load cow's milk with mRNA exosomes, successfully immunized mice. Another promotion. Now they want to put it into near food supply. So if FDA has already got a little red pill, whatever the color that the Pfizer, the Harma pill is for something that doesn't exist, you think they're going to go ahead and allow the same technology in your food? It's recognized it safe because there's no data to show it was harmful? Is this really the type of future we really want moving in? Or do we want to step up where we have a skill to do so and say that standard has to change? We're now to a point where technology and AI move so quickly at error speed, at the speed of light, that we need to reverse this process. The nation's food supply can be manipulated by public health agencies to influence population outcomes. A great example is fortification of cereal grains with folic acid, the synthetic form of folate, which successfully reduced the incidence of neural tube defects, spina bifida. Now an oral route of administration is being considered specific to COVID-19 vaccination using mRNA cow's milk. And why not, folks? They've just agreed a little pill to do the same thing. Although 4 kids died, 4 people died with eye wash, and 80 kids died on the other issue, they're going to allow this in your milk, and they are proving it has no use at all. At all. Under the advice of what? The WHO? Who now advises and had advised and is now re-advising. Again, they're in the news about how much they're telling us and help protecting us now. WHO advises not to use non-sugar sweeteners for weight control in newly released guidelines. Now, I don't know why this is coming out now when these non-sugar sweeteners came out years, decades ago. And they have the names, you may, common NSS, include acusulfame K, aspartame, advantame, cyclamates, neotame, saccharin, sucralose, stevia, and stevia derivatives. When the original ones like aspartame came out, and I noticed some people taking on the diet drinks, and they started puffing up, swelling up. They weren't losing any weight. They were actually responding. I said, that's an allergic reaction or a poison. People didn't recognize that. But they got bought into this propaganda that these things were supposed to be good. Well, now it comes, WHO advises that non-sugar sweeteners for weight control or newly released guideline. Not using them, folks. Well, that's been common knowledge for anybody that's paying attention. And this week, I was going to do that story last week. This week, the WHO comes out to protect us. And this week, it comes out just in time to tell they were right. WHO was right. The WHO is an organization to trust, I suppose. Emerging science reveals health risks in sucralose. It's the most common, widely used artificial sweetener in the United States. Most common sold under the name Splenda. The chemical is used over 6,000 food products. It is often found in diet sodas, including Diet Coke and Splenda, Diet Pepsi with Splenda, as well as Gatorade's Propel Water. Drink the Kool-Aid. Low-calorie Kool-Aid, folks. Atkins Diet products. And that's what I said. Atkins Diet products and other low-calorie foods and drinks. It's now a problem. It causes trouble. You need to read the story of how much trouble. I don't want to go through the list. It's on and on and on. The FDA doing some review here. They've been doing the studies for years and years and years. They now, in this story, recite the WHO caution. I want to point out here that WHO, I think, is being put in the press to try to shape its image as a helper to warn us away from bad things so that you'll buy into the fact that it's helping you when they hand you the bad thing. Okay, so you see how that works. But all this is known to not be any good. I don't understand. This is another problem with our society. How people have thought these chemistries called sweeteners were good and didn't do the study, and we see so many people succumbing to this propaganda, is an insight to show how easy it is to take populations down. And they're doing it by feeding a need in people. And I just have to say, the diet thing is not just a woman's thought. What I started to notice, my first impression was a brother-in-law of mine that I had. He wanted to lose weight. He was someone who was prone. Wasn't really that heavy, but he thought he wanted to lose weight. He started drinking this stuff. He swelled up like a balloon, but didn't see it. So it's not just women here. We're talking, you eat this stuff, your body responds, and it's a poison. And now the WHO is coming as a rescue, I suppose, to tell us all about it. And the next week, sucralose hits the news. You don't think they knew that all this time? And it's not just man-made things that are toxic to us. I did a little bit of a quick statement last week to warn people in Florida. Flesh-eating bacteria found in sargassum bloom on Florida beaches. I just want to remind you today, nature is deadly, folks. In fact, a lot of these chemistries are synthesized from nature, synthesized from E. coli, which is a bacteria that's on fecal material. It's also CRISPR, adulterated even worse, but with CRISPR technology, to produce these side products. And for one, I find all these super sweeteners, non-sugar sweeteners, to be bitter. I can't even eat this stuff. So I'm happy that my taste buds are so sensitive, if you will, that 600 times sweetener than sugar, the sucralose is enough to make it bitter in my mouth. I don't eat this stuff. If I taste it, I can taste it immediately. I hope you're sensitive enough, too, to be able to use your own senses to pick that stuff up for you as well. Start paying attention to these very subtle differences. Now, this one, the vibrobacterial that's in these, that's attached to the sargassum weed that's apparently rolling up on shore in Florida, is a super deadly. It's a killer. Make sure you don't ingest it. And I just want to put that out there. The nature is a tough thing, and she'll kill you. Not everything natural is good for us, folks. And that's the thing about trying to figure out how to walk the path we need to walk. There's not one side or the other. Things will harm us. It's natural, it's synthetic, natural, or man-made. The judge blocks release of report into CIA torture on national security grounds. And this has been an interesting problem for me. Well, I understand this is what they don't want you to know what they can do to you, so you don't prepare your mind. If your mind is prepared, I understand you can resist this a lot more. But this judge will not allow, because it's national security grounds, the torture, the harm, the death that's caused at the hand of man underneath a idea of terrorism. That's a self-created condition. The United States, the use of torture by the CIA at so-called black site prisons overseas following the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks has been widely reported. Most infamous is the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba, where Al-Qaeda leaders, it's another fabricated group by the CIA itself, and others were subjugated to waterboarding and other torments. What I want to point out is this thing is so bad, they don't want to tell you what's going on. They don't want to prepare our minds of how bad the United States is, will do, what it will do to people. As I keep telling you, what it will do to people, it'll do to you. What it has justified to do to people, it'll do to you. I don't see a limitation in a jab. I don't see a limitation in war. I don't see a limitation in appropriations for a non-war like Ukraine. If it kills people, if it makes business, they're going to do it. This thing is so bad that they put under national security that Feinstein was saying that the use of torture by the American government was a dark mark in our history that must never be allowed to happen again. We must continue to learn from our mistakes, and that means eventually releasing the terror report at an appropriate time. We do such heinous things to each other. But this information, I guess like the Kennedy assassination information or anything else, 75 years from now for the Pfizer, cannot be lent to you. You're not a grown-up enough to understand how bad people in the government can be to us. That a judge, under color of authority of judiciary, under color of national security, won't let you know what they do. Won't let they know, you know, how much, whether they use flesh-eating bacteria to eat your face over time, whether they use hammer therapy, psychological warfare, drugs, torture, positions, all that stuff, Abu Ghraib things. They mention waterboarding. Apparently it's a lot worse than that. But this is what our government will do to us. And it won't let you know. It's not you're the electorate, because this is all they really care about, is not mature enough to handle that. Actually, what it would do is it would set up such a revolt that they would have to stop that nonsense. It is also found that the enhanced interrogation methods used were by far more violent than the agency led on. More violent, folks, than waterboarding. Because they're letting you know about that one, right? They had to maximize the victim's suffering. Is that what they did to the ventilator, folks, with bacterial pneumonia? Is that to put, then they let you know that so that you're more fearful? You want to protect those people and you're helpless to do so? We must learn from our mistakes. Doesn't happen today, folks. That you watch them kick the can down to this warp speed chemical weapons attack against everybody. What tortures are going on in other places in the world tells us what they'll do to us. What we allow and don't object to as a nation is what they'll allow to you. And this brings me up to an interesting, I thought, connection for me. Relative to the open-air prison that we seem to reflect but don't recognize in the United States is Gaza. And the lies and euphemisms and coverings that go on relative to that space that are very instructive if you pay attention, those that will, of what is allowed to be done, the violence and the heinous acts that are done to other people by another people, thinking there's a superiority. This brings up a condition, a truth, an article I found, which I want to point out, politics can drive and use other people to their detriment without them knowing, is in a report that I think is fairly accurate. I couldn't do all of the research, some of it, that I think this is an accurate representation of the history of a condition where a group of people coming under cover, utilizing the cover to protect them, will go out and uses that cover to harm others in heinous ways. In a story called Zionist Jewish Israelis Are the Worst Anti-Semites. What this goes through is it explains more articulately than I have to explain to you that Zionism is politics, and Jewish religion is faith. It's not the same. And we have to keep track of that. A lot of people won't. They'll commingle this and they'll say all Jews are this way. I don't see that myself. And so I'm going to hold out the innocence of someone's faith as being protective to them. Again, they're not shoving it down my throat. And it's up to their right to do so. Doesn't mean that they become the political faction or that they weren't perception managed to be a part of that political faction. I want to read some of these things to get it out. This is a highly researched matter. It shows how Zionism as a political movement was working with the Nazis, and understand about Ukraine today, the Nazis and Britain, as we heard with the Balfour, to create a place for Zionism to move to under the color of being Jews and displacing the Semites in Palestine, in the Palestinians, to do so. That you'll hear in this report that the people that appeared to be Jews were the Zionists are now the army and the Mossad, which you hear so much today. That this whole story starts to work out to show you a different truth than the propaganda that this country, United States, supports in what Zionism does. And the statement near the bottom is anti-Semitism has become a Zionist code for all pro-Zionist, pro-Israel entities to commit social character assassinations, economic assassinations, political assassinations, and at times physical assassinations of anti-Israel critics. And remember the license that we give to ourselves through national security to hide what we do to prisoners in Guantanamo under the idea of national security and then the torture that goes on. Supposed, apparently so bad they can't let you know today. You're not grown up enough to know about it. Even though the scandalous abuse of the term anti-Semitic is very well known and understood by all international heads of state, they patronize the Israel leaders who spit that term right in their face in an attempt to camouflage the continuation of Zionist colonization of Semitic Palestine. Opposing Israeli expansionist terror in the Middle East is not anti-Semitism. Zionist illegal occupation of most Semitic Palestine is anti-Semitic. Israel's genocidal ethnic cleansing of Semitic Palestinians is anti-Semitic. Israel's total destruction of 531 Semitic Palestinian towns and villages is anti-Semitic. Israel's daily demolition of Semitic Palestinian homes is anti-Semitic. Israel's daily murder of Semitic Palestinian children is anti-Semitic. Israel's largest ever open-air concentration prison of 2 million Semitic Palestinian Gaza residents is anti-Semitic. Israel's destructive wars and proxy wars through America against Semitic Middle Eastern Arab countries are anti-Semitic. The popular call death to the Semitic Arabs by the growing number of young Israelites as a testament shows us, if you look carefully at what Semitism is, it's not Zionists. You read that story, you see how they worked with the Nazis, the Zionist politics worked with the Nazis. In order to rig that land, British was involved in moving and using Jewish people of Jewish faith, religious faith, and killing them as martyrs to get more Jewish people to go to inhabit the territory that they're occupying. We'll show you how the mechanisms they use to take good people, good meaning people, in better economic conditions and get them to move from the where they were and get them to be fearful to move where they're going to go and accept a political or movement as a people that aren't and don't exist for advantage that we're seeing today. And then we hear also so heinous what these folks might do. I want to remind us, and apparently it was the anniversary, that the Israel false flag attacks against Americans based in this story. You look and see how they do this, and you see this came up with the idea of false flag attacks. The fact that a group of people can premeditate how to get the perception of people to move in fear in order to fulfill an objective. That they also show, as you heard, and I just read that part, that they get politicians to feed into this thing. They get the euphemism to work counter to what it really is. But this next story I thought was pretty interesting, consistent with how this, and the control and the integration of this Zionist condition in the world. Israeli Mossad spy, Italian intelligence agents, and Russian woman killed in a mysterious boat accident. A recently retired Mossad spy was killed along with two Italian intelligence and Russian women in a mysterious accident. And the incident happened on May 28th. It was in the Lombardy region. Claimed that a whirlwind made a 52-foot boat overturn and sink, while the Italian investigators said the sudden change in weather appeared to be cause of the accident, ruling out foul play. I find this story fascinating. A whirlwind, folks, just showed up and capsized this boat while there was an interesting meeting with the Mossad and the Italian agency with a Russian woman. What's going on? I don't really know, but I found the story interesting, at least to point out that there's workings going on that we may have no control over, that when you read that story about what they did to the Palestinian people and to the Jewish faithful in order to establish Israel, you'll see the mechanisms of how they can control you, how they can get us to move in fear. And then I want to point out another action, how they talked about politicians can't resist to deny this force in the world. So for some reason, I call your attention to the post about the USS Liberty being attacked by Israel. The United States silence around that. The June 8th, I think, here was at the Post that was the anniversary of that. And I pointed out here that RFK Jr. apparently doesn't support the message, where you see a video of a gentleman who I would say is actually under the color of Jewishness promoting Zionist policies with RFK's hand around his shoulder while he's explaining, while the gentleman is supposed to be a rabbi and showing how much support that the supposed Jewish people have for RFK, and RFK agreeing with all that. Is someone who agrees with Zionism and those that agree with that and promote RFK have to, without objection, have to be promoting Zionism, a politics, not a Jewish faith, which is used to destroy people. It's being used today. Hope something I said exposes certain things, opens your eyes, get to question again, learn a little bit deeper, put it together for yourself, and don't let these people deceive us anymore, as we're being led in a bad way, I think, and we're silent to them. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature World.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
A can of whoop ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop ass.